What are you doing this time, Cole?
Well, Gary, even though I know you don't like kids, I feel like this is a prime opportunity for you. So let's go through this door. And
kid opportunity.
Yeah. So I've come in and I've taken over this preschool for a day.
Oh, fun.
And I've filled it with a bunch of kids whose birthday are, or sorry, no, their parents' birthdays are today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's an exhaustive search.
Like, I know. Right?
That's some complicated Boolean logic to make to find those people.
Gary, big data can solve everything.
Why aren't these kids coding?
well, no, but what I've told them is that if they want their parents to love them still, they will take these alphabet blocks and build this. I'm going to open this curtain here.
Okay.
They're going to build this magnificent castle for us.
Oh, that's nice. I've always wanted a castle. I've been reading Game of Thrones. I want to make Duck Keep. Like, yes. Duck Crag Fortress. Yeah.
A bunch of them. I'm not going to say got exhausted. Let's say cranky.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say are suffering from dehydration. Let's just say they want some juice.
They're having some nap time in the nurse's office.
They're having some orange slices. They're going to get back up on their feet. They'll be fine. But but no, this is the randomization, because what I want you to do, and I might join in on this as well, what these kids have built painstakingly, this castle made of alphabet blocks, we're going to charge through it like the most boisterous of beach bullies as they watch.
That sounds very fun. We should get someone to paint a picture on the other end. Let's make an OK Go video out of it.
Well, no. And then we're going to play Boggle with the blocks to randomize which game we're going to play next.
I like that idea. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's hold hands while we do it.
Let's go.
Whee! Yay! Oh, they're blocks. Oh,
so many corners.
It was like going into a soft wall.
Oh, so let's figure out how I'm going to edit that sound and then look down at the blocks. Oh, I'm seeing a pattern, Gary.
Okay, yeah. We don't even have to play Boggle.
It's
already there.
Mario's early years preschool fun.
Fuck. We weren't supposed to do the entire preschool fun suite, right? I did Mario's early years fun with numbers.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I thought that's what we were supposed to do.
Oh, okay. So this is going to be a split EP.
Oh, okay. I bet you we both have... Let's each fill up 20 minutes on these things.
No, so there is one called Preschool Fun.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, I definitely have the wrong one.
Huh. Well,
oh, well.
I don't think it makes that much of a difference.
Yeah, we're fucked. How are we going to fit all this in?
This is going to have to be another two-parter. I'm going to have to edit together a video for that.
Who suggested this pile of shit? I mean, I guess I don't know the pile of shit that you did. I suggested my own pile of shit.
Yeah, no, you just assumed your pile of shit.
Yeah.
You know what? You were born into the pile of shit. I just adopted it. No, this is Archive Lover.
Okay. Who is like one of name.
Yeah. No, he's he or she, I'm not entirely sure which, is a poster on the Something Awful forums and has been very active in submitting a bunch of stuff. So yeah, it says, these are not Mario's early years. He is clearly a grown ass man with a mustache. What gives?
I was hoping that would be Mario's early years. Because well, as everyone knows, the best part of Yoshi's Island is Baby Mario.
I know, right? The favorite thing, especially that little design when he looks super creepy with that big nose but no mustache.
Oh, yeah. Tell me what happens in Mario's preschool years.
Well, first we should probably introduce ourselves. What's your name?
Gary Butterfield.
Okay. Cool. I just wanted to make sure. I need to make sure I have the right Gary.
You haven't been face-offed.
Exactly. No, I have last name blindness.
Yeah.
No. I've locked you in this room. My name's Cole Ross.
Yep. And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games and games that honestly, like, we play educational programs that you suggest until we decide to do a moratorium and stop.
Yes. So we may have to screen some of these out. It's funny that this serves as a means to put colorful shapes in front of kids and have them hear other kids say the names of things. Like, that's cool. Once or twice. It's cool when it's a Burt's dinosaur.
Yeah, Bridge Dinosaur was special. And, like, there are, like, you know, Mario's Missing, we mentioned before. But I think any other, like we can talk about Mario. We're going to talk about these counting game, like, this counting game pretty briefly. And I bet you the preschool, even though preschool is very vague, like, it'd be awesome if it was, like, a sim.
Oh, yeah?
Or something like that, yeah.
Hmm.
Like a Kairosoft-style Mario and preschool game.
But, oh, my gosh. If he's, like, Headmaster Mario?
That's a good idea.
Principal Mario, and he has to like settle disciplinary disputes and balance the budget.
I like that idea a lot. Like Prison Architect. Man.
Yeah.
So,
Has there been a theme school?
I bet you there has.
Okay,
I'm trying to think of it.
No, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of there literally was the Kairosoft High School game, which was good.
All the Kairosoft games are good, but they're all like the same.
Yeah.
But my favorite is still the game dev one, the first one.
Yeah, because you have the most inroads to it.
I've told you my story about that, right?
Go ahead. I think we're going to be fine.
And the because the game, so as you eventually get and become a publishing juggernaut, you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that game, for people who don't know, you choose a style of game and a subject matter, so like a genre and subject matter. So every time I play that game, I think I played through it from beginning to end like twice or three times. I get to the end, I'm huge, and after I've made all these like super fun like platformers and shooters and stuff, I just make game after game about the history of Othello and then watch as it gets like triple platinum. Like it's just like History of Othello volume 6. The early years. or reversi is what they call it on the thing. Yeah. But like history, you know, history is the type of game or the subject matter, and reversi is the the thing. So just History of Reversi, volume 7.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Shades of Gray.
That'd be a great name for a History of Othello, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think so.
Yeah. No. Like so. That's a time when the artifice breaks down. I end up doing just like a whole bunch of I will make things with the same subject matter but in different genres and just try and try and think of titles that will match.
That's half the fun. It reminds me. I talked about it on this very show and someone actually reunited me with it. That game Rockstar, which is like a little text based game that's a little simulation.
Oh, yeah.
And half the fun is just coming up with song titles and albums and stuff. Cole, can I ask you a question real quick?
Yes, you can.
Can I direct your attention to the chat window?
Which computer am I looking at?
The one that Skype is on.
Okay.
So maybe not.
Okay, yes,
you can. Go to the Wikipedia for Mario's early years, Fun with Numbers, and click on the PC cover of this and tell me what Mario's doing.
Okie doke. And I'm going to sit here and hope my power doesn't go out because this is the first time I've heard rain.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy, Mario!
What's Mario doing there? Describe the scene for us, please.
Mario is standing on the ground next to a child's like a because I'm a child of McDonald's, I'm going to call it a play place, but it's like a jungle gym, right? The collection of posts with the colorful plastic.
He's standing
with the
next
netting.
To jungle gym.
Yes, he's standing.
And talking about Nom.
Yep, no, he's standing inside of Jungle Gyms. Is that a porta pot inside? Nope, that's actually a lavish bathroom. Go back and listen to the Spellcraft episode. Yes, I remember which one it was. No, but he's there as though he's supervising.
Supervising?
I think he's more groping.
He's reaching up in between a little kid's legs.
Yeah.
And has the most fucking like I'm sneaking a cookie out of the cookie jar posture and face that I've ever goddamn seen.
Oh.
Like it's hard to look at this picture.
So he's in reverse three-quarter. Like he doesn't want to take his obscured right eye off of this sweet, sweet kid meat that is in front of him. But he's still looking at you and like he's winking.
Yeah, he looks very coquettish.
Yeah, there's no reason for him to be posed like that. Like he could be standing next to him with a thumbs up.
Yeah.
That's
Isn't that weird?
That's fucked. Why are there three slices of watermelon?
Because that's what this game is about. Is about like counting fruit and shit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah. So that's
yeah.
That this has taken a dark turn.
I wasn't trying to just make, because that's the generic, like that's the joke, right? Is like an adult is in a kid's game, of course he is molesting those kids.
Right. That's,
I just, like, this is just an image that was on, like, you could go into a Babbage's or whatever and buy this at a certain point.
Yeah.
And have this image of Mario being, you know, looking this coquettish, reaching up. But, like, somebody had their fun with this.
Right.
Like, and this was a photo shoot. Like, those watermelons actually exist. They're not photoshopped in. Hmm. The kid is holding a giant three.
there's a man in a, it's marvelous costume work that he looks like a cell drawn animation on there, but that is totally practical effects.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. He's actually there, and they just, like, let him go. Like, let's see where he's going with this.
you know what? The artist doesn't normify.
Yeah, exactly. It's not his place.
Huh.
But this is the best. This is the coolest thing about Mario's early years. Fun with numbers. Not the best thing, but the most interesting thing is this, like, this picture of Mario just, like, just on the lookout to see if anybody turns the corner and walks into the room where this crime is happening.
Oh, hello there.
Yeah. I just, like, oh no, I was just, chin itch on her knee. Like, that's what it looks like. I'm not trying to make that joke. That's
right.
What this
it's
image
horrible.
Looks like. It's what it is.
Yeah, that's there.
Yeah. It's so, something else. It's something else, man.
What's crazy about this, so we both played different games, but it really doesn't matter.
No.
The one that I was looking for a Crick-ass surprise, right? Because even though we bolstered the ranks of the good side with our friend Zoodog, you know, you're always looking for more. You're always trying to fold and lift your next asset up to Mother Base. And so the lead developer of this, whose name is Peter Lipson, mm-hmm. He was director on a couple of other games, mostly in the 90s, but he was staff on two amazing games, Rampart and Blasteroids.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Those are good. Yeah.
And then he went on to work at Toys for Bob, and that's where he is today.
Toys for Bob.
The publisher who started out with Star Control 1 and 2. And then went on to become the richest company in the world with Skylanders.
Oh, okay.
Like so successful that it's really hard to begrudge them for the fact that they're selling toys.
Yeah. And Skylanders, like, I mean, made the way for Amiibos, which everybody loves.
Yeah. Do you own an Amiibo? Do you have Amiibos?
No, I want to get the, I don't. They're too expensive for what they are. Like, I think they're cool. I just think that the price point is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
I will buy them, though, because of their functionality in Mario Maker.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they fucking got me. A year and a half in, they fucking got me.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be able
to
I want to be able to play as Samus in Mario Maker.
I wonder what if it actually changes your verb set like
it
that.
It doesn't.
Super Mario.
It's literally just a way to play with the same physics as
but it
that
changes
spray.
The sound effects and stuff.
Yes,
according to the trailer, which is like
that's good enough. Like, no, they got me. They got me with that video showing them, like, oh, here's Link and here's the Wii Fit Trainer for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Because everyone's favorite Nintendo character. Even though I have read a post of somebody who was saying they were in love with the Wii Fit Trainer. So.
Oh, gosh. Was that from the With Reshiram guy?
Like, Reshiram. Definitely could be. I forgot where I saw it, but it was somebody who wanted to fuck a video game character for no good reason.
Well, yeah.
What happens in preschool Mario?
So it opens up with a title screen that shows you the most off model versions of the Mario characters you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they're like an ultra thin, like, let's say a skeletal and gaunt looking Yoshi, and a Peach who kind of looks like she kind of rode a motorcycle face first into a wall.
Yeah.
And you have a choice of a bunch of islands. And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, cool.
Islands.
Yeah, you know, like, and these are islands that have, like, big stuff on them. So here's a bunch of shapes. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a bad but bonkers platformer that is kind of themed around this. And when I navigated to my first island and I went inside of it, I thought, oh, of course. What do kids love more than controlling a cursor with a D-pad?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's made for the mouse.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Like, this is one of the few games that's made for the SNES mouse.
Wow. So I knew these were PC games first.
Yes.
Like, this was part of, like, Nintendo's foray into, and it's like, I think the same initiative that kind of spawned the Zelda CDI stuff.
Yeah.
I think like, oh, let's put these things out. This is from the same thing that gave us like Mario sweater designer, where you could design a sweater in a Mario game and you could order it for $25.
I thought that was like a Famicom thing.
That was a Famicom thing.
Yeah, that was back in the day. This is
very much in the same spirit.
Yeah, that seems more gentle than their CDI shit, which was like a little bit like that seemed more. Like not but shady, but
from an era. Misguided. Okay, yeah, like it's from an era when Nintendo decided to relinquish control over their IP, to put it in the most crass business terms possible.
Like one's the Famicom, and it's like 10 years later.
Yeah,
I guess is what. But they're both like just kind of oopsies, mm-hmm. in that respect. And then they finally like, you know, Hyrule Warriors is relatively fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they finally figured out a way to do it and not have it be terrible.
Yeah,
but yeah,
yeah.
So what happens when you actually get to the island? What happens when you get to the firework factory, Cole?
To the firework factory. Well, Gary, this literally is for preschoolers because they're trying to teach you such things as what are different body parts called? Or teaching you to count, which I assume is the complete extent of what your game was, right?
It's very count. Like the different... So kind of funny, you go to these different islands in the counting one.
Mm-hmm.
And the islands are Number World, Counting World. guess what you do in that you don't do in Number World?
Nothing. Okay.
Comparing World.
I love Comparing World. Oh my gosh.
I like that phrase a lot too. And How Many World.
How is that which different than count? Counting World?
I know. Super good.
So Counting World in my, so this is like some Dark Tower, like just alternate dimension stuff. My version of counting island or whatever is that you're in a classroom and there are a whole bunch of different like little like over here there are six blocks on a shelf and here are three birds on a windowsill and you mouse over top of these and the cursor goes active and then you just hear a little kid voice sample go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 balloons.
All counting is in real time.
Yes.
Like, which is really, really a bummer. That's true in this as well.
And they're not even doing like the Sesame Street, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like,
yep.
No, it's literally just sampled in the most crude way possible.
The big problem with this one, mm-hmm. Is not the big problem, I guess. The cool thing about this one, the opposite of a big problem, is that when you have to pick out the right number, like, you know, it tells you, 3 plus 4, or what number comes after 6. The thing that gives you your quest giver,
oh,
is Luigi.
Yep,
you have to wake him up. You have to poke him to wake him up and have him give you a mission.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just kind of like going through and bonking on stuff. Like
yeah, I was doing that and I was like, is this literally just like it's Mario next to numbers? Like and there's nothing you do. But no, not the case.
Oh my gosh. What happens when you get an answer right?
It counts all the way up. And then eventually so it depended on the game for me, right? So because like one of them was like an egg that was hatching. And then the egg hatched and then
listening.
Luigi put it in a pipe. Like, so mine varied for mine.
Okay.
It wasn't the same every time.
So in mine, whether or not it was opposite world where you had to distinguish between what is hot and what is cold, or listening world where you had to match animals with the sounds they make, okay. Whenever you answered right, some just drastically off model Mario character would like pop up and in like a Goomba voice go, I like your choice.
Oh, I don't think I had that.
Yeah.
Sadly enough.
Good job.
That's pretty special. I'm into it.
Yeah. Oh, also in Body World, you can click on the sun and his eyebrows will waggle in the most suggestive manner possible.
Mm.
To the point where I definitely made a gif of that. And if when I get sick of my lemon grab avatar on something awful, I am going to change it to that.
That's
going to
be your guy.
Yeah. It's going to be sexy sun.
The sexy sun. So that's educational games. For you. Two things real quick. We were talking about amiibos. One, I probably will buy the Shovel Knight amiibo. I love Shovel Knight. Two, they put out Trouble King plush that talks.
Oh shit.
And it's $28, but it looks amazing. I'm probably gonna get that. So I want the Trouble King. But three, or here, let me.
You only signed me up for two.
Yeah, oh yeah. Three, though. Guess what I did over this this weekend, what I did on Labor Day.
What did you do, Gary?
I went to the Oregon State Fair.
Oh, my birthday. Yeah, okay, let's camp here.
How long has it been since you've been to a county or state fair?
When I was like in early college, I went home, or it was right before I left for school. So I was like, I'm going to go. It was college because I went there for a demolition derby.
Ooh, that's pretty fun.
Yeah. I was just old enough for it to be ironic, but just young enough to still be like, I'm going to eat some shitty food.
Carnival food, I think, is the reason why fairs are good.
It's the draw.
Yeah. Like, it's not good. Like, you don't want to eat carnival food more than three or four times a year.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to get those three or four times a year in.
Okay, I want to make sure. So, but while we're on the top of carnival food, because I think there's going to be a lot more that that comes down the way here.
Mm-hmm.
Did fair fries up in your region just at some point turn from the best thing to utter shit?
I haven't had them for a long time since I can't eat fries with impunity.
Even before that.
I don't remember, because
I remember fair fries being like these thick cut things that still had like a little bit of the skin on it. And they served them in a cup, and you could put some vinegar on there and some like incredibly runny ketchup. And they were thick, kind of crispy, but still kind of mushy fries. And eventually, like, the supplier changed, or they stopped cutting them inside the trailer. I'm getting incredibly romantic about these fries, Gary. Eventually they stopped doing that, and they just had like these shoestring fries out of a fucking bag.
Well,
and they're
now
bad.
Yeah. Now they I know that one place was serving them in bricks. It was like, you get a fry brick.
A fry brick. Is it still made out of potato, or is it like a fry bread? Like, here's just like a bunch of dough kind of thing, like an elephant ear, but savory instead of sweet.
No, they were French fries.
Okay.
And they were served. They served them in brick form.
It was an undifferentiated French fry mass.
Like, I felt like it was like, if you took, because French fries are ostensibly shaped like little rectangle, like little boxes, right?
Yeah.
Like, the idea being that you could lay a bunch, like you could theoretically like stack a bunch of fries into a brick.
So this is like a Lincoln Log creation.
I'm sure that's not actually how they made it, but that's what I imagined.
Right.
And that's what it looked like from the outside. Like, I didn't get a fry brick.
Right. But you had to watch a fry brick, and that was enough.
I did. I watched a fry brick.
Oh, this is a new. I had one of these at the Pride Parade here recently, because it was after a long night of drinking, and I just needed a bunch of grease to soak it up. But spiral cut fries, where they take like a Dremel and they cut it up and then just like served in a big basket with like some cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
in brick form. So that's one thing. When it comes to carnival food, What I want are like deep fried like pickles,
mm-hmm.
and deep fried like cheese and things like that.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, and again, this is spoiling not enough people who listen to Teenage Dirtbags in general, but something I mentioned on Teenage Dirtbags as well, but I'm going to mention it here because more people listen to the show and it's very special. At the fair, there was a corn dog stand.
Okay.
And outside the corn dog stand, hanging like they had committed crimes, were five examples of the kind of corn dogs they made. Okay, and they were like,
like a cross between like Vlad the Impaler examples to other corn dogs that might encroach on their land, and also like the front of a butcher shop you would see in a Chinatown.
Exactly. Like, it's exactly that. And they weren't like fake ones. Like, sometimes you go to a place and they'll have like, here's like a fake chicken or something like that.
Yeah.
These were clearly like just corn dogs they had made that day and hung up on the side of their booth on strings rather than serve to people. And they serve five corn dogs in ascending order. These are their names. And I have a picture of this. It sounds like I'm making it up, but these are these five corn dogs' names.
I've seen the picture, but I want you to say the names.
I'll say it for other people. Shorty. Duke. Bacon Duke. Make My Day.
Make My Dakin.
Dominator.
And some of these appear to be at least like 18 inches long.
The Dominator is a serious boy. Like, that is a serious.
Yeah, that's like three brats on a dowel.
Like, yeah, I'm not turning, but don't Why do you think I'm turning my nose up at corn dog? I love a corn dog.
No, I you know what, Gary? Sometimes if I'm feeling saucy when I'm at the at the grocery store, I will buy one of those 2-pack like frozen corn dog things, and I will make one and eat it, and then I'll make the other one about a week later and eat it, and I will feel terrible.
I assume that you ate them. Like you did, that was not part of the story. That was.
No, I make it and eat it. Yes, yeah. I ate it. Like I didn't just like torture myself.
Like,
it's not some
your butt. Like I knew you ate the corn dogs.
Okay, cool. I wasn't torturing myself with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
But yeah, it was really amazing. I didn't get one of those.
So
I got to see a lot of fair food.
If you just said I went to the fair and I saw Shorty, the Dominator, and what were the other ones?
Duke Bacon. My day.
And make my day, I would assume you were describing the craziest boy band ever.
Yeah, that's like I like Duke Bacon, Duke Make My Day, Dominator, Shorty.
Yeah,
that sounds really good.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I'm into it. Those are the kind of Dukes and corn dogs I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what like was this just a like let's go and walk around kind of visit to the fair? Or were you there on a mission?
No, I mean, I like shit like that. Like, I like, you know, I've said it before, like, I'll fucking go to Tulip Fest. I'll do anything.
Yeah.
I like doing stuff. So, and it was the day before my birthday. So, my girlfriend took me. Yeah. And, we're just, like, doing, we went on the worst haunted house I've ever been to. Haunted house ride.
Mm-hmm.
Thing that was called Ghost Pirates. And, like,
lost me.
Yeah, well, like I can get down with a ghost pirate, and they were really skeleton pirates. They weren't really ghosts.
Okay. Well, now you got me back. Continue.
They may or may not have been tangible, but like in the carnival art version. But the carnival art was weird. One of them was clearly an infant. Like it was an infant skeleton that somebody had used as a model. And then, but when I went in, like there's that Simpsons thing where like they go through the haunted house and the spring just pops out at them. And there's the ravages of old age. There were so many, there was like three things inside the haunted house and two slots where you could have put things that were empty. And the carny didn't talk. He just motioned with his ticket scanner. It was so weird. Like I half think that I came out and I'm actually in a subtly different world and I don't know it. Like it was so weird.
It's like
so
the end
weird.
Of Mirrors.
Yeah.
Huh.
It was
no,
so bad.
No, like not, now you're like the difference is that all ghost pirates are skeleton pirates.
Yeah. It just switched. It's like when you beat Super Mario World.
Yep.
And like now everything's just a little bit different. it was so super bad.
Yeah,
it was the worst.
Did have I ever told you that I at certain points in my life flirted with a carny lifestyle?
No.
Okay, so that's probably overselling it. My grandparents, because of some kind of weird affiliation, they ended up providing catering services and also also like concession help at any number of fairs that ran between the Norwalk area of Ohio and the Delaware area of Ohio, up to and including the Little Brown Jug. And I was enlisted to be a money runner and also to work in the pizza stand and such. And that
I think
is,
you maybe have told me that before. Yes. I just didn't. I was thinking of you like thinking about becoming a carny.
No, just you don't have a lot of options sometimes when you come up in old Mansfield,
it's
Ohio.
The carny or the army. You're living down in Allentown. Like, yeah.
Sorry, you got me with that one.
Yeah. I've never considered being a carny, but I can see the appeal. Other than the fact that you have to hang out with carnies.
I know, right? Like, you don't want to be a self-hating carny.
No, but I would be. I would hate carnies, but I would feel weird. Just like, what do they do at night? Like, or like on nights when they're traveling, like you get somewhere. Imagine being like carnival, like, you know, you're just like hanging around. It's unsavory. There's murders.
Yeah, I'm picturing them, you know, like when they stop for the night, if they don't drive in shifts, you know, because they have to make it down to Tulsa. I picture them stopping and holding like the real carnival. Like out in some kind of like,
oh shit.
It's you just like they kind of know where all of the like the secret pot farms are, because they got to go and stock up. But when they get there and the feds have like burned them down, they call that carny Halloween. Ooh, and then they open up the front and they actually like play the real versions of their games, where like it's not water that they're shooting into the clown's mouth. It's whiskey, and it's not so much a clown as it is another carny.
That would be very fun to fill one of those things with whiskey.
I would like to see like a Louis Theroux documentary of carnival of carny Halloween.
Just carny life, like honestly.
Well, yeah,
like even a non-joke version of it I'd be pretty into.
Mm-hmm.
I dominated some kids on that shoot the clown mouth.
Yeah. And by dominate the kids, you mean you had slightly higher water pressure?
Yeah, like I well, yes, that's exactly what happened. But we won a gigantic unicorn.
Ooh.
Which was fun because it was it was the last day of the carnival.
So they were trying to offload.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's more expensive.
Jumbo prizes were going everywhere.
Yeah, you always get lured in with the jumbo prizes, and then you walk away with a South Park Coke mirror.
Yeah, yeah. They wouldn't let me have a smaller prize.
No?
Because they were trying to get rid of the hard-to-move ones. Like, I asked for a smaller prize that was cuter than the stupid unicorn.
No.
And they wouldn't give it to me.
Fucking unicorns.
So, pretty weird.
Hmm. Did your fair have any, like, strong 4-H components to it?
Oh, yes, very much so. Like, okay. we toured the 4-H, like, pens.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at some animals.
They always seem a little bit unhappy.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
Well, the people, too.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know. But, like, the animals, it's, like, it is depressing. Like, it is, it's pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
These, you know, because it's, like, bunnies don't want to be in the cage. Like,
I don't think bunnies want to be that big.
No, bunnies don't want no part of this. And, like... It is all the animal judging thing. I've always thought that. Like, when I went to that cat show,
mm-hmm.
It's just weird that it's like someone like, this is a good goat. This is a bad goat. You know, like, what are you, like, they're just goats. Like, it's just weird to me that, like, this is a good bunny rabbit. This bunny rabbit is bad. Like, how can you make that kind of decision? Like, it's just, it's, you know, it's very strange. But speaking of amiibos, we went into, like, the 4-H, like, craft hall.
Okay.
And somebody's craft, they did. Was an amazing set of Shovel Knight purlers.
Oh, really?
And it was perfect, and they did all the bosses.
That's
and that was what they were displaying in the 4-H thing at the Oregon State Fair.
Did you get a picture of that?
I didn't know, because I was just like, oh, I could, you know, I could. The weirdness was that it was at the fair, not that
okay.
It was a thing at all. Like, it was good, but like, well, we'll see three or four of them at PRGE.
I suppose so, but I would still like to see a picture of that, because that sounds fun.
It was cool. Like, I was really surprised to see it, because, like, it was a lot of, like, here's a painting of a butterfly. And then tons of Captain Americas.
Huh.
Like, really bad high school drawings of Captain America. But then, bam, like, really good perler art. Like
it's going to go places.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of him. Yeah, I should have actually put, because sometimes, like, our friend bought a painting from one of these things once.
Uh-huh.
Like, just put a note and was just like, I would like to buy this, and bought a piece of art from this thing, because it was, like, this weird outsider art.
Yeah.
And I wonder if I could have been like, I'll give you $50 for this insane set of perlers and could have got it.
Yeah.
I should have done that. I kicked myself.
Yeah. Well, that, like, it, I mean, it was a kid, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. $50 to a kid.
I know. And like,
I think about Slim Jims you could buy for this hillbilly.
well, no, but like, I'm immediately thinking, you hillbilly. Most, a lot of my friends were 4-H kids in high school. But just thinking, like, man, like a full set of like Shovel Knight perler stuff at PRG would go for like $400.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the people who knew the value. So I should have taken advantage of this kid.
Yeah,
sure,
you fucked up, is what I'm saying.
I did. That's 100% too.
Huh.
True. There was a hypnotist.
Ooh.
Which we didn't watch because it was like wajah as hell. Like,
oh,
it was impossible to watch. He had a bunch of like 4-H kids and kept hypnotizing them to be thinking they were in different kinds of bands. And they just kept like picking up violins and mock violining to music for like full length musical numbers. Like, he was definitely like, can you fill 90 minutes, Amazing Carl? Like, it was really like stretched pretty thin.
You say Amazing Carl?
That wasn't his name. That was just so
we need to get some mileage off of Amazing Carl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Was there a tractor pull element to this?
There was, but we missed it. This was the last day of the fair, so there were no equine events.
Mm.
Like, we missed that. Yeah. And we missed the track, like the machine events.
Have you been to a demolition derby ever?
I remember this recently. I can't remember if I talked about it on air though.
Uh-huh.
My dad used to do demolition derbies.
No, I've never heard this story.
it is, I never think about it because I try not to think about my dad because it makes me sad. But when I was growing up, before my parents got divorced, they got divorced when I was 7. So I've been 5 or 6. We lived in Aurora, Illinois, the town I was born in. My dad had an old beater brown car, and I went and watched him do demolition derbies in it. And it's just like, there's not too, I know that the car like eventually just got smashed or he couldn't drive anymore and stopped doing it.
That's the surprising thing to me. Not that somebody would have endeavored to do this, because I know demolition derbies exist, but that a car would survive it and go do a second demolition derby.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't like, I wish like there are a few things like, you know, like there, if the Everclear song Father of Mine has, that can serve as a list of the questions I want to ask my dad if I ever see my dad. I'm just going to put on that tape and stare at him for 3.5 minutes. But after it ends, after that, I'd be like, answer all those things. Also, like, you did demolition derby, right? Tell me about that.
Like, yeah. Like, is there a form you have to fill out, or is it like totally like, you know, hush hush, and they're like, you have to go to the Kearney hospital?
Yeah. Like why?
you have to like, be stitched up with the ribbon strings from helium balloons.
Yeah.
Huh.
It is. So I've seen I've only seen one though when I was like 6.
Okay.
So I haven't seen a demolition derby as an adult.
Was it impressive to you when you were 6?
Surprisingly, no. I remember it being scary. Because I thought my dad was going to die in a car wreck because he was participating in the demolition derby.
Okay. Did it register in your mind that a demolition derby is, in fact, not impressive because no car moves more than 3 feet before it hits another car? And in fact, it appears to be some kind of very rural and very violent mass parallel parking accident.
No, it did not.
Okay.
But that sounds accurate.
Because that's what it is. I went there, you know, I'm just kind of like in full irony mode. My brother got like tickets to it. Like, yeah, Chris, let's go. let's go look at this.
Yeah.
Let's do it. You know, I'm not going to turn my nose up at this. And I was and for some reason in my head, either because of Happy Days, you know, where the Malachi brothers are going to do the Malachi crunch and Pinky Tuscadero's in real trouble and the Fonzie has to rescue her, or because of any number of PS1 car combat themed racing games, I pictured that it was going to be like people moving at speed.
Yeah.
Right. But that's not the case. No, it's literally just an extended parallel parking accident. And I was very underwhelmed. And the crowd was not. The crowd was markedly whelmed.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think cocaine might have been involved from those South Park cocaine mirrors.
It's also probably just fun to see some noise and smash.
Yeah, I mean, there was like lots of lights and the announcers were kind of going for it. Like the announcer was goading like, oh, that was a hit. And there would be 3 seconds as it registered for people. And then they would like cheer. I think everybody wants to have a good time and I'm not going to begrudge them that.
Yeah, you wouldn't even need like coke. Like just being drunk, I would be pretty.
Yeah.
I could see whooping it up at.
Yeah.
Like drunk at a demolition derby.
Well, because you're at a demolition derby.
Or just
like,
weeping in the corner because
of, because you're at a demolition derby.
Yeah, because it reminds me of
oh yeah
because, of things. So, one or
you
the
have,
other.
You have to make sure like the repeat button's broken, so you have to make sure it doesn't go to I Would Buy You a New Life.
Dad, I will not. This is a non-binding Everclear song. I will not buy you a new life.
But if you hold out, it's eventually going to get to Wonderful, which is basically the same song as Father of Mine.
Yeah. He had a lot of problems, that Alex Alexis. What a piece of shit he is.
The least of which is his incongruously
voice?
Colored. Well, yeah. His,
like his was, shitty songwriting?
I was thinking his incongruously colored soul patch, but.
Oh, yeah. Oof. Woof. I'm trying to think of what else was fun at the fair that I did. There was like a dinosaur thing, like this touring, like here's some shitty animatronics of dinosaurs.
Uh-huh.
That like I'm gonna do that. Like I'm never gonna not do that. And the it was funny though, because the whole thing was like see dinosaurs, and then in like a smaller font and then a bigger font in their natural environment. And it was just like the worst, like plastic pens.
Nice.
And grass on the ground and stuff. It was pretty rough.
Like, so, okay. And again, it's been, let's say it's been 10 years. I'm going to be 28. Yeah. So it's been 10 years since I've been to this. Are carnivals still unstuck in time? Like, are there like Angry Birds, games and stuff like there, or is it just straight up, this is the late 70s, early 80s still?
A little bit of both.
Hmm.
Like, I mean, there's some like just like dumb, stupid Angry Birds things, but there are some weird touches of modernity.
Yeah.
Modernity. Thank you. Like it is in Oregon. So like there were food carts there, like, you know, there were like fancy food.
Yeah. It was like
there at certain places. Like if you got away from the carny food.
Artisanal funnel cakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Like a funnel cake is some bullshit.
They taste good though.
I mean, yeah, they're fat and sugar. I'm more of a fan of the elephant ear because it's fat and sugar and cinnamon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a textural thing, whether you want more surface area or you want more internal.
I think that both of them get soggy, but an elephant ear gets soggy at a less pronounced rate.
I would do terrible things to an elephant ear right now. Like two listeners were recognized 3 weeks ago or like 2 weeks ago when we were recording and I was saying how hungry I was and it just increased.
Yeah.
Like I should have eaten before we started recording, but yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I've kept you from eating.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Like, we learned a lot. I've been saving people a little peek behind the kimono is that I've been saving this carnival stuff for this educational game because I knew that this educational game was not going to have a whole lot going on.
Mm-hmm. A carnival is something you're always going to get mileage from the first time you bring it up.
I still have like a whole other episode of Abject Suffering about fair stuff I can do.
Whew.
Have you ever seen Diving Dogs?
No, I haven't.
It's like dogs, just like it's a competition where dogs run and jump into a pool. And that's it. Like I kept expecting they each have their own song that pops up, like bow with a bow will come up
yet.
And then the dog runs and jumps in a pool and all these yokels scream.
God, I feel like that was that was the instigating plot element of like a South Park episode or it was like a King of the Hill episode, something like that. Something had diving dogs.
It could have been. Like, it sounds like a King of the Hill to me.
Yeah.
It's just very funny. And they throw, like, a toy, but the dog's point is not to get the toy. The dog's point is to see how far it can jump. But it didn't seem like anyone was measuring it. Right. It just seems like people... And, like, in a way, you strip away those elements and it actually makes it better. Like, here is a whole crowd of people gathered to watch dogs have good times to music.
Yep.
And, like, in a way, that's really beautiful.
Yeah. there's something awesome about like watching, you know, because it's sad if it's a wild animal, right? That is you know, going to a zoo and, you know, it's cool to see a lion, but it's not that great when you think about everything that surrounds that lion being there. But a dog just wants to like be clapped at and have a bunch of attention and affection and to get wet and hear loud noises, right?
Yeah.
So you're watching a dog be a dog, but dog, but dog, digga 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 digga,
best time.
Yes,
like that dog was so happy.
So it's one of those things where if you strip away the artifice, it's actually better.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it was actually kind of beautiful.
Can I mention fair jealousy?
Fair jealousy.
Ooh, yes. No, my parents, they went to the fair up at Mansfield. It was like the Richland County Fair. I forget what the headliner was. It was like some kind of cover band that they were going to see, but the headliner was Cheap Trick.
Ooh.
And I was like, God damn it, I want to go see Cheap Trick. You're going to go see Cheap Trick? And they complained about how loud it was.
That sucks. Yeah. Well, I'm from Rockford, Illinois, where my first wife was from, and and was 45 minutes away from my hometown. So Cheap Trick played like all the time, like at our stuff like that.
Nice.
Cheap Trick's like most recent album as of a couple of years ago was named Rockford. Like, they love Rockford. So Cheap Trick is in my DNA. And you can do way worse because Cheap Trick is actually wonderful.
Yeah, like that. I really wanted to go see Cheap Trick. I'm not joking.
Yeah, they're great.
Huh.
Super great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what have we learned here today?
I think that we've learned that we keep some, like, to an extent, we keep stuff banked up for things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I learned to count.
Yeah, which is so good.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, we cured your dyscalculia.
Yep.
Thanks, Mario.
Thanks, Mario, and thanks. Who suggested this?
I like your choice. Right.
Yeah,
it was so weird. That was Archive Lover who recommended this under the air of suspicion around Mario's true age, and we found something much more sinister.
Yeah, that picture is worth checking out. So find that.
Ooh, that picture is worth 1,000 affidavits.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You can support us on Patreon if you want to have a chance of dictating a episode, or if you want to get a free episode per month, extra episode.
Yeah. Or join our Slack channel. There's like cool stuff happening there.
Yeah. So, you know, DuckFeed or patreon.com/DuckFeedTV.
Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate it. Otherwise, there's the iTunes. There's Facebook. I don't want to promote the live stuff here because it may have already happened.
Oh, yeah.
but next time we're going to be doing Total Recall for the NES.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I got it. I have a lot of things to say about that movie, at least.
Me too. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And good night. Sing subs.
Zoo dog.